Hello and welcome to the QA Therapy podcast. Are you looking to improve your overall testing and quality practices? My name is Sergio Freire and I'm a solution architect and a testing advocate at X-Ray.
And my name is Cristiano Cunha and I'm also a solution architect and test advocate. And we'll be your hosts and QA therapists throughout this series. In this podcast, we're going to tackle some of the most common testing and quality challenges that we all face in our teams. So if this sounds good to you, keep on listening. When we think about web testing, we think on UI testing and then Selenium is a library that comes to our mind. But the web and the tools used for browser testing have evolved meanwhile. Maybe you have heard about Puppeteer. But there's a new kid in town for a while now that has been gaining more and more attention, with new features coming out every month, and its name is Playwright. To assist us on this topic, we have a special guest with us, Debbie O'Brien. But before welcoming her, let's see what really brings us here. What are the symptoms you may be feeling that has brought you to listen to this podcast? So think, are you unsure on what framework to adopt for web testing? Or do you find that there are a bunch of restrictions on your existing browser test automation toolset? Or did your team have to deal with the nightmare of WebDriver versions? Or even do you need to perform cross-browser testing?
Well, these symptoms seem to suggest that maybe you need to reassess your current web testing strategy and the underlying toolset. Perhaps you need to try something else different. So let's dive a bit into this topic. And today we have here with us Debbie O'Brien, our expert QA therapist, to assist on diagnosis and prescription on these symptoms. Debbie has a long experience on software development and also on teaching on how to code. So really great for that. Debbie is a senior program manager at Microsoft, where she advocates for better testing with Playwright. She's also helping building and supporting the whole Playwright community. Welcome, Debbie. Are you comfortable on our QA therapy couch?
Thank you very much. I don't know if I can live up to the term expert, but let's try.
Good. So let's start with a bit perhaps of history. Can you tell us a bit about how you landed on the testing space and how fun has this shift been for you or not?
It's kind of like a long story, as in like 5-6 years ago, I gave up my jobs and I was a front-end developer with just HTML and CSS experience, so no JavaScript knowledge. And I went back to full-time education to learn JavaScript and finally get a proper job as a real programmer, as we call it, right? And part of this front-end tech degree and full-stack tech degrees that I did included testing. So we had to learn testing, and it was the hardest part of the course for sure. But you know, you learn all this and then you go into the job and you expect that everybody's doing what you learned, and nobody was testing. And I was like, why is he not testing? And they didn't know how to test. So I basically started just forcing testing upon everyone and trying to make them all test. And then in every company I went to, it was like, we need to put testing in. And it was hard because, you know, that's the first thing that, you know, the managers want to cut, right? They need to make more money. So they'll say, we don't need to give testing to the client, just ship the product, make the money, and, you know, and then move on to the next one. And I'm like, no, we need to deliver a good product. This is not okay. It was a constant battle. So basically testing has been a big part of my journey for a long time over the last 6 years. And I think as well, because the tools that are so amazing, especially, you know, Playwright, it makes it a lot easier. And I remember the times when I was the manual testing on a Friday. We would say, right, we're going to ship to production, everyone open the computer
on a Friday.
On a Friday, yeah. You have like 2 hours to test the website, report all bugs and fix it. It was insane. And I thought that was testing, right? So there's a lot of people and a lot of companies still testing that way. And we need to shift that mindset of like, how can we help those people realize there is a better way to life than that?
Yeah. I totally feel what you have been describing. In your experience, how do you think developers look at testing? Do you think that they still struggle a bit because of the tools? Because of what is that difficulty that you have been talking about? What do you think it is about? Is it because it is hard to test? We have hard tools. It's hard to change the mindset and to include that on the mainstream of the things that we do because, well, quality needs to be built in, but sometimes it's left for afterthought.
There's a mixture of things there, right? And, you know, one of them is culture. We don't have a testing culture. We're not brought up thinking about testing as part of our, you know, development day. It's like you said, it's an afterthought, and it shouldn't be. It should be culture as part of, like, I'm creating this feature, this application, and I'm going to create the test to go with it. Before as well, there was a lot of separation, you know, QA engineers and developers. And I think that's come closer now, where the developers are actually writing the tests. And this is really important. One of the biggest problems as well is that in a lot of the boot camps, they're not teaching testing. They're trying to get people out as soon as possible, you know, learn Vue, learn React, learn the front end frameworks, get out there, get a job. And therefore, you have all these new developers coming into the scene, but they have no experience, not because of their fault. And therefore, testing is like, I don't know how to do it. So I'm not going to learn it now because I'm trying to, like, hold on to my job and learn just to be a developer, which is, there's a lot of things to learn, especially in the front end world. So yeah, it's a mixture of a lot of stuff.
It's curious because yesterday I was meeting one of my previous teachers and that works in the university, and he was saying, we need someone to teach, let's say, testing to our engineers.
Or the benefits or value of it. It's like, if you don't show someone what you're going to get from doing something, then you're not going to see and do that, right? So you have to show them. Yeah.
So what's the brief story behind Playwright, and what led to Playwright to appear?
I mean, it's before I joined Playwright, so I'm kind of going on, like, you know, what I know. But Playwright basically started off as a fork of Puppeteer. So the people who built Puppeteer basically then moved from Google to Microsoft and started to build Playwright. And obviously then it went off in a different direction to Puppeteer, but there was a very good solid base. Also, they have a very good team that moved with them. So they have a great team that have been working together for years, that know the Chrome dev tools, that know the code of Puppeteer, and then are able to build on top of that, but focus on testing, focus on what, you know, Playwright is, which is focused on E2E testing. And therefore, that's basically it. It's trying to, like, make developers' lives simpler, making testing easier. Like, let's get developers testing. And how can we do that? By creating better tools, by onboarding easier, and by just making it more fun, more visually as well, you know, less kind of set up and just get it done so you can go home on that Friday without having any worries about your code.
Yeah, definitely. But there are other frameworks out there, like, well, Selenium is out there for forever. We have Cypress also. So what is different? Playwright is bringing to the table that is that differentiator that makes this tool better or not?
obviously.
Regarding the others, yeah.
Obviously better.
unbiased opinion.
Unbiased. Very, very biased opinion, yes. No, there's a lot of great, you know, frameworks out there, and I've used them all in the past as well, and, you know, they've been brilliant. But there's sometimes limitations to what you can do. So Playwright's biggest advantage was that you can, you know, test across all browsers. I think that's really important that you're on a Windows machine, can test, you know, on WebKit, etc. Testing iframes, you know, like we just say in Playwright, it just works. You just test the iframe. You don't have to think about it. Testing across multiple browsers, right? So if you're doing a chat application, you need to test the two of them. You can do that. Tests are running in parallel, which makes it super fast. And people hate when tests are slow because then they're like, I'm just not going to test because it takes too long. So we need to, you know, make that better. And Playwright runs so fast. And there's so many other advantages that Playwright does. Auto-weighting, retryability, testing library-inspired locators built in. So you're focusing on accessibility role-based locators before, like, things like XPath and CSS, which you totally don't want to be doing. You want to make your tests as close to the user as possible. So we've learned from, you know, the competitors, you could say, and obviously they've done a great job, and we learned what was missing, how can we, you know, improve that experience and give something better. And obviously being newer, we have a different architecture, so we're able to do, you know, different things and learn from those, not mistakes, but limitations that they had, and keep building something that is obviously better and better and better, because we want to provide a better experience for the users.
Similar to what happened with Cypress, we now see also Playwright trying to tackle the component testing topic. What is this exactly for, so we can explain to some of our listeners? And does it mean that PlayReady is getting closer, even more closer to developers and support their needs?
Yeah, I think so. Component testing is an interesting one. And it's, if you're ever building components that are going to be shared across, you know, multiple projects, so you're building like a component library, for example, you really want that component to be tested because it's going to be used in many places. And maybe that component contains other components. So it's kind of like a little mini integration test of a big component that contains smaller components. And in order to unit test that, you don't visually see anything. You just, you know, write a test and, you know, 1 + 1 = 2 and a test passed. But how could you like really understand that that test is working properly? So being able to visually see the component and see it render in isolation outside of the page environment, because you're going to put that component in different pages, different apps, different, you know, themes, different whatever. So component testing is basically taking that test, that component, and putting it into isolation and being able to visually run that test as the user would use that component.
Yeah. It's really interesting to see all the, these tools starting to get closer and closer to the developer. But me as a tester, I always look for frameworks and tools that have really good debug capabilities because I want to know what caused that. And I want to have enough information to take decisions and to take that information to my team and say, well, this has failed because of this. So how is the debug happening in PlayReady? Have we enough logging? And the other part of this question is, how are the reporting also? Because on testing, once it happens, and usually in pipelines or the automation runs somewhere, and then what we see is the report. So have you guys have invested a little bit on reporting and debugging? What's new on, the,
yes.
on that side?
So obviously, like, the tests will never, ever fail. So you never have to debug. I'm only messing. you know, obviously, you have less flaky tests. That does help. But if you do have failed tests, which does happen, basically, there's a couple of things you mentioned there, right? And let's start with the reports. You get a full HTML report. And on CI, for example, you have a full trace of your tests. And this was something that, you know, developers were loving, our trace viewer, to be able to, on CI, download the trace and actually open it up and visually see and debug the DOM snapshots of that actual trace of the test. But everybody was like kind of looking for a watch mode, and they wanted to be able to watch the tests, you know, to be able to visually see and kind of like time travel back and forth. And, you know, while you're actually, because debugging, you're just going forward, right? You're not going back in time. So recently, like literally very recently, not even a week ago, we released UI mode. And UI mode is like watch mode and that trace viewer mixed in together so that your developer experience of debugging or even just writing your test and visually seeing it, you know, change, it pass, it fail as you're actually building the test. But if it does fail and you need to debug it while you're, you know, writing that test, you can then see the full trace of the test. You can go back in time and see what was going on, what you clicked, the before, the after, the action, see the console, the network requests, the full log, the source code, pop it out, inspect the DOM snapshot, everything.
You can see the logs in a given moment in time even?
Yeah, yeah. You can go back and forward and like you can just hover over to go really quickly to kind of like, you know, visually see animations, for example, or click and kind of inspect that one particular. And then just like, yeah, pop it out and inspect the DOM as well and, you know, change the CSS and visually see, oh, that's why it's failed because that class is missing and this is what it should look like and et cetera.
Debbie, and since we are talking about CSS, CSS web, web end-to-end, UI tests, so, but PlayReady is not just for this UI type of test, right? We can also use PlayReady to perform API tests or any other types of tests, including performance, accessibility, for example.
Correct, yes. Yeah, there's a good few people using it for API testing. Visual regression testing is another. So there's a, like, basically, you know, you can test everything. I kind of like to see it as a full solution, right? So it's like, what do you need to test? Well, we've got the solution for you. So yeah, once it's browser-based.
So it's easy also to extend, I guess.
It's easy too.
Extend in order to support.
I mean, yeah, like you're just using the tool. It's not like it's not using kind of plugins or anything. It's just using Playwright to do that API testing, using Playwright to do whatever testing. And remember, Playwright is in four languages as well, which is another benefit, right? So you can use Playwright as a Node, so JavaScript, TypeScript developer, or as a Java developer, or as a .NET developer, or as a Python developer. And what that means is if you have a team of like, you know, front end, back end, full stack developers, all working on different projects, they can still write their tests for their application in their language of choice, but they're all writing using the one framework. And it's very easy to understand. Even though I'm not a .NET developer, I can read the tests. They're very similar. I know that test because I know from the JavaScript side, just the syntax is a slightly bit different, right? And that makes it really nice for a team to be able to like ensure that all their tests are kind of using that one standards and same practices.
So when we think about testing, and well, we have a lot of teams already invested in tests for some time, and some of them are using other frameworks like, I don't know, Selenium. So how easy do you think it is to transition from a tool like Selenium into Playwright, for instance?
I would never say it's easy to migrate from one thing to another, right? It never is. Don't believe anyone that says it is. I would say to, and I mean this serious, I would say to get a license for GitHub Copilot. GitHub Copilot is impressive in how easy it can like read your tests and help you kind of write those tests from new. Sometimes it's also like you might have a test that you can just like recreate because we have a generator, right? So basically, if you have a user flow, you can basically just recreate that flow once, right? That test is written, and then just kind of modify those assertions, you know, because we're recording the click actions, but not the assertions. So just modify that. And there's your test done. So that's not a massive kind of migration. But definitely, you know, AI is doing a lot of the work for us. ChatGPT is also doing some great stuff. And GitHub Copilot, I'm telling you, it just knows what it needs to do. Like it just, you start writing and it goes, I know how to write this test, bang, there you go.
Can I make you a very tough question?
Ooh, I don't know.
So what are the things that are still missing on Playwright in your perspective?
I would say definitely generating assertions. I think that would be cool that if I clicked on, say, a heading, which is not clickable, that it would know, okay, you're not a click action, even though you clicked it. So did you want this to be visible? And, you know, like, so as you're generating, you have a better kind of way of suggestions of what you want to do, because at the moment it's only click. So that would be mine, because also I'm the very visual person who does all that clicking instead of like manually writing the test. And yeah, let me see what else. I don't know. I think visual regression testing probably could be improved. We do have a pretty good visual regression testing, but like it's definitely could be more of it. To make it easier. So, you know, for those images at the moment, using the Docker images and things, there's always improvements. Like there's a lot of things that can be improved, because everything we just want it to be, I think, as easy as possible, as quick as possible, as less painful as possible. So people can always just say, I'm going to create a visual test, a performance test, an API test, a normal test, like every test, rather than kind of having this big, oh, how do I do it? So yeah, the more we can make lives of the developers easier, I think the better.
Yeah, and on top of that, I'm thinking about mobile. Do you guys support mobile testing? And if yes, what can we do with Playwright regards of testing mobile?
This is like one of the biggest requests from users, right? They want to test mobile because they love Playwright. And they're like, Playwright is so amazing. Now I want to also test my mobile applications or my, you know, native applications. And we completely get that. I mean, I also do. It's like, yes, I don't build mobile applications, but if I did, I would want to use Playwright. We can emulate mobile devices, and the emulation is like really, really good. So you can emulate a tablet, etc., an iPhone, a Pixel phone. But we can't test on like, you know, an iOS device and actually test an application because we run in the browser. There is Electron support a little bit. I'm not sure how, to what extent of that is, because I haven't really tested that out myself. But in general, yeah, the mobile story would be amazing, but because we're browser-based, how do we go about doing that? So it needs a different architecture to be able to do that. It's not an easy task. It's not like you say, yeah, oh yeah, we'll do that tomorrow. But it'd be amazing. That would be cool if we could just click a finger and, you know, do that.
Oh yeah.
Debbie, coming more here to your, let's say, more current role where you engage a lot with the community, how has been the involvement with the community been so far? I can tell you from my own experience that the feedback that I got from the Playwright team whenever I did a contribution some time ago was really, really good. The team was quite supportive, and basically the team allowed me to make the contributions for Playwright. So I wanted to ask you, how is this engagement with the community going on for you, especially for you?
You see it? The community is fantastic, and I have so much fun with the community. And I think as well, like, we have an amazing engineering team that, as you said, they're always answering issues and they're always connected very much with the community, but they're a little bit camera shy. So they kind of hide in on GitHub, and you'll find them there, but you won't find them, you know, in much other places. So I'm the kind of one that's not camera shy. So you just see me everywhere. And that's like, I do the job of what the engineers don't want to do. So, yeah, being able to go out and like reach out to people at conferences, being here on this podcast, for example, and in Discord, we created the Discord channel just over 3 months ago. And it was a bold move because we said, hey, we're moving from Slack and we want to take you all to Discord. And you know what people are like, they don't like change. And we're like, are we going to lose the community, or are the community going to come with us? You know, some people stayed, which is fine. But the majority of people, you know, came to Discord, and more people have joined. And it's actually insane what the community are doing. So if you go into our Discord, it is so, I can't keep up. Like literally, like the help forum is just, they're all helping each other out before I even have time to open it and read it, which is really, really, really nice. And I think that's what a community is about, helping each other out, sharing knowledge. They're all writing articles, creating amazing content and sharing that inside Discord itself. And then obviously, you know, online. So it's actually been a pleasure to, you know, just give them a better platform so that they could actually do a better job. And I think that's the community. We're already always there. They just didn't have the platform and the setup to be able to do it. So yeah, the ambassador program as well. We've got amazing ambassadors speaking about Playwright as well over the world, because I can't be everywhere. So we've got this great team that are doing insane stuff for us. And it's just, everyone loves Playwright, which is, it's so easy to like advocate for this product, right? It's so easy because everyone just loves it. And it's just cool.
Yeah, and looking at the Playwright, so can you tell us if what are the new things that are coming short, midterm? Anything that, any new shiny feature that you have planned that you can share with us already?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know all the shiny new features that are planned.
And the ones that you cannot share also.
And the ones that can't. Yeah, I would say, like, you know, we do everything out in the open. So we don't really have a public roadmap, but we do like all go through the GitHub issues. So if you have like feature requests, we always say, you know, put that on GitHub, upvote the ones that you see. If someone says, I want this done, upvote it. Watch mode was one of the most requested features. And we created a watch mode, right? Because it was what people wanted, not because what we wanted to do, I wanted it. You know, but it was like not the team that were like, yes, we want this. It was the people that wanted it. So we listened to the people. So there's a lot of issues that are, a lot of feature requests that are open that we're, you know, analyzing and looking at and seeing, can we do this? How can we improve this? Visual regression testing, for example, you probably saw the tweet we tweeted out recently asking people about this. A lot of people are looking for Cucumber support. I don't know if we're going to do that or not. That depends. We're looking through all that as well. But we're analyzing, you know, how can we do, what can we do next to make, what do developers want, right? How can we provide what people want? UI mode is still in preview, so we're still, you know, improving that based on user feedback as well. So that's basically coming through. So the next big massive feature, I reckon it's like, you know, ChatGPT is going to write the test for you while you're asleep. That's the one I want.
I want that. So before closing, one last question, Debbie. What advice would you give to someone who is new to Playwright, and what resources would you recommend to help them get started?
Yeah, I would say basically don't be afraid, because some people are afraid to especially if they're new to testing. It's like, oh, I don't have time. Actually, in 5 minutes, right? In 5 minutes, you can have Playwright up and running in a test basically playing that test and visually seeing that test and recording that test yourself. And I know that because I built the Get Starting Guide specifically for people who are brand new to testing, who do not have experience and who want to just give it a go. So if you follow that Get Starting Guide, you don't even have to use the terminal. You can just use the VS Code extension and install it using the extension. You get that demo test. You press a green triangle. It's going to run that test. You can click the show browser button so you can open the browser and see the test running, and you can click record new and hover and click over on any on the browser, and there your test is recorded inside VS Code. And that's it. That's 5 minutes. You do that in actually less than 5 minutes. You can actually visually see how cool Playwright is. That's your proof of concept. That's your analysis. And then you can say, right, I want to learn more. Now I'm going to go and, you know, read the docs. I always say read the docs. The docs are amazing. Some people, most developers don't read docs. I know. But we have, like, in Discord, we have, you know, a lot of videos in there that you can watch. We have our own videos as well on our own YouTube channel. And there's a few getting started videos there as well to help people out. But just don't be afraid to just write one test. Don't complicate and over complicate life and write the most difficult test out there. Test one thing, one simple thing, and then just build and keep building upon that. But definitely give testing a go.
And I personally also like those videos that are released every month with every release. Yeah. Where we can actually see the new features in practice. And I think it's a great way, besides the documentation, which I also think it's quite helpful and quite readable whenever if we compare it with the other documentations out there. So yeah. Thanks for being here with us, Debbie, and tell us all these excellent topics around Playwright and these amazing features. So developers and also testers can benefit from them. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and happy testing, everyone.
Thank you.
Before ending our episode, it's time for some vitamins. We know that in general they are good for our health. In this case, we will be talking about vitamin X, where X stands for X-ray. As the web is a reality, so is web testing. And with Playwright, you can implement cross-browser testing, as we saw, as we heard, actually, and easily upload the related results to Jira using X-ray. With the enhancements we made and that are available in the JUnit reporter in Playwright, testers can easily link a test method to an existing test in Jira, or even link it to an existing story, and thus implement full traceability right from the test automation code. So let your teams be focused on writing the tests and let X-ray do the rest.
And we have reached the end of the episode. And we have seen that testing web apps or sites is something that teams have been pursuing for several years. At the beginning, there was only Selenium for supporting browser automation. But nowadays, tools such as the popular Playwright, backed by Microsoft and a big community, provide an alternative that has been gaining a lot of traction. As always, teams should be agile enough to try out tools, evolve and adapt. Such as agility, quality is not a goal. It's something ongoing that we need to take care and improve. So see you in our next therapy session. Happy testing!
Happy testing!